Well, coming up very shortly, as a matter of fact, this week on July 12th, in just a little bit, another in the series of the Partners in Community Safety presentations, which have been held at the Bitterman Center in Canaan, Connecticut, to Daisy Hill Road, as a matter of fact. And we have with us this morning to talk about the next presentation, Julia Scharnberg. Julia, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me on today.
Now, you are the Grants and Program Director at the Northwest Connecticut Community Foundation.
I am.
Were you the one who, or the organization responsible really for getting all the groups together to put on this series of presentations?
No, actually, that was pulled together by McCall Center.
Wow.
And the Northwest Corner Prevention Network. They really did a great job putting this series together and getting a number of partners together. The Community Foundation actually did sponsor this in part with other organizations, so I've been keeping an eye on this for a while now.
It was an aggressive way to gently bring to the community the different phases of problems that affect rural counties like ours, and most people think of these things going on in major cities.
They do, absolutely. I mean, when you think about gun safety, for example, obviously it's a big discussion, and there are a number of people in rural areas who own guns, and I'm sure, and I know that the turnout for that event was great, and a lot of people are very interested in how to keep safe. And domestic violence is something that, while a lot of people understand it happens, I really think they don't believe it happens right here in these small towns in their own backyard. And I think it's really important to keep these topics in front of people and just remind them it does happen here. And keep your eyes out and see what you can do to help somebody who's in need.
Now, the opioid crisis is a horse of a totally different color.
Yeah,
it affects.
Everyone.
All ethnicities, all age groups. It doesn't matter whether you're a senior citizen or whether you're a 12-year-old. It doesn't matter whether you're black, red, white, purple, or anything. And really, more and more, it's affecting white Americans.
Yeah, I mean, not even more and more. What's so fascinating about the statistics is that it's primarily white. And even when you look at the statistics here in the Northwest Corner, the Community Foundation services 20 towns in Northwest Connecticut, and so I tend to focus on those statistics. And when I looked at the 2017 figures from the Medical Examiner's Office, I had to add three more towns to the list. So now 14 out of our 20-town service area, 14 of those towns have had deaths related to opioids. 71% come from Torrington and Winstead, and one of the most frightening things to me is the median age was 37, and the largest group was in their 20s and 30s, and another big chunk of people were in their 50s. And then one of the more interesting things was that in the Northwest Corner, almost two-thirds of the deaths were men compared to women, and that's just been a big puzzle to me. But I guess men are much more likely to fatally overdose than women, primarily because they use alone with more frequency than women. And it's really important to stress harm reduction measures. I mean, that's why I like this presentation in particular, because it really focuses on prevention. And one thing we really need to stress to people is that harm reduction measures like Narcan, never using alone, having test strips for fentanyl, harm reduction is not enabling. Harm reduction gives people the opportunity to sort of stop and get control. And it also helps with the community understanding what's going on with people.
We're talking about a presentation which is coming up on Thursday, July 12th at the Bitterman Center in Canaan, Connecticut. And that is substance abuse prevention. It's never too early. It's never too late. It starts at 6:30 and goes till 8 p.m. There's pizza and soda first, and then the presentation, and then a question and answer period. You know, I think it's when you look at this, I'm 65, and over the years, I've had a brother and sister that were addicted to alcohol, a father that was addicted to alcohol, and I've had a partner in my life who was addicted to drugs and passed away from it. My brother and sister are still here. My father died because of his addiction, and my longtime companion passed away eventually due to the abuse of certain medications. But the opioid crisis can sneak up on people. I mean, I remember I had a series of surgeries 3.5-4 years ago, and I was once sent home with a bottle of pain medication that had 100 Oxycontin in it.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of the things I think we're really trying hard to get out to the medical community is it's a knee-jerk reaction to prescribe opioids, and I'm so sorry for the loss in your life, but you're correct that it can sneak up on people. They think it's safe because it's prescribed by a doctor. My son broke his leg last fall. They gave him 56 oxycodones to come out of his surgery to repair his ligament and his broken bone. He needed 9. And these pills, these extra pills, so many of them are getting diverted into the community, and that's how a lot of people start on them. A lot of kids will start on it that way. They'll take a few of them, and they won't think it's a big deal. It takes, what I'm seeing now, it takes 5 days to potentially become fully dependent upon opioids. So we have to really look out for ourselves. When you're at the doctor's office and they try to give you a prescription, I would suggest that people get less than 5 days' worth. You can always get more if you need it, if your pain level is such that you need it. But keep these extra pills out of people's homes. Keep them off the streets. And I can't emphasize that enough. And a lot of doctors are still giving very generous quantities of opioids.
Well, it was a shocker to me because I ended up sending it back and getting a different prescription, and then destroying by getting rid of the because 100. I mean, the street value of that is ridiculous if it's lying around and somebody steals it. That's another thing. The crime that comes from it, never mind the deaths and the tragedy, the crime that comes from this is just unbelievable.
Well, the cost of this epidemic is appalling, and 98 cents of every dollar associated with this cost is, as you just pointed out, with the crime, what goes into the judicial system, what goes into emergency costs, you know, the higher cost of treating people that are fully addicted and the other consequences that come from that compared to prevention. 2 cents of every dollar goes to prevention efforts. It's crazy.
It is. And this, even though we're now all aware of this opioid epidemic, it's not letting up. It's getting bigger.
It is. I will say that it appears right now that the 2018 death rate may surpass 2017. We lost in the state of Connecticut 1,038 people. And part of the problem is that fentanyl is becoming more and more prevalent in drugs, nothing is safe. There was a story that the Litchfield County Opiate Task Force passed around just as a warning to people about fentanyl showing up in marijuana in one area of the state, and it's incredibly dangerous. It's a synthetic opioid. It is incredibly powerful. It takes a tiny amount, like a few grains. And that could be it. There's no experimenting. There's no, I'm just going to try it once. It could be once, and that's the last time you try anything, because fentanyl is so powerful, and it is really contributing to an increase in the death rate. The autopsies have increased well over 50% at the medical examiner's office. They are so overwhelmed.
That's 4 people a day in the state of Connecticut.
Just about now. It is. And amazing. we're not seeing a let up. And yet, for all of this, it's difficult. It's difficult to watch this, and yet what gets lost sometimes in all of this is that people are recovering. People may overdose. They may receive a dose of Narcan. It may be just that one step to get them to stop, reflect, take advantage of the help and the resources that are available to them to recover. So recovery does happen. Maria Coutant Skinner from McCall will say they see it every day, and she's right. But prevention, and that's why I'm really appreciative of the efforts of the Northwest Corner Prevention Network to really stress prevention. If we can get ahead of this with a whole new generation of people and really have better prevention efforts consistent throughout people's lives, including the entire family, we'll be doing some good work.
All right. Once again, this comes up July 12th at the Bitterman Center on Daisy Hill Road in Canaan, Connecticut. Pizza and soda from 6 to 6:30. Babysitting is provided, and the presentation will run from 6:30 to 8 with time for a question and answer. Julia, thanks for taking a few minutes and joining us with us today.
No, thanks for giving time to this important issue. I really appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.